Uncle Frog. I sat with him most of my life. He didn't teach me that. Minister James Shabazz and number two, he doesn't know anything about that. Minister Abdul Halim Farrakhan, he doesn't know anything about that. Minister Jeremiah Muslim Shabazz, he doesn't know anything about that. All of the ministers know that he said, you have to study it, brother. There's something else there.
That's right. That's right.
But for all of Elijah, Muhammad said, after me, there's nothing else. Muhammad said that there is no need for God to send anybody behind me. For all of Elijah, Muhammad said that after me, there is nothing but God. I know he said all that. He was talking about completing his mission. He meant that no one was coming after me to complete my work. No one is coming after me from God to complete what I have been given to do. I'm going to finish my work. He was right. I'm not teaching you Yaqub history. I don't come to you with problem books and old lessons. I don't come to you with old teaching. I come to you with that is new. All praise to Allah. But what I bring to you, it shines more light on the old than could ever possibly come out of the old. And I haven't told any of you that I am a messenger, that I am a prophet. I told you that I am the Mujaddid. Mujaddid means the one to make it new again. He also said that in the judgment, I and Master Farah will be together. Isn't that what he said? This is the judgment. This is the judgment. And I have put them both together in this judgment. Revealing the history, the life. More than that, I'm revealing the mind of Master Farrakhan and Master Elijah Muhammad in this judgment. And I'm showing them to you that they are not as big as you saw them to be. They're bigger than you saw them to be. But you don't understand it, many of you. Well, we were taught that Master Farrakhan was God. And you're saying that he's not God. You're making him smaller. No, I'm making him bigger.
That's right. Go ahead, Chief.
The world was taught that Jesus, the prophet, was God. That he was the Son of God and God in the flesh. I teach you that he was not. That he was a prophet, a messenger, a man just like all the rest of us. But when I present him to you, you see a bigger Jesus in what I tell you than you ever saw in what the church have told you.
Go ahead, Chief.
If you only got sense to see.
That's right. Go ahead, Chief. You're right. That's right.
A God who's supposed to have the power over the heavens and earth, send from heaven his own spirit and clothes it with our flesh, and that flesh come down here and tell us that God destroyed the world once for sinning with a flood. And after doing it, he felt sorry
And he said, I won't kill all flesh anymore with a flood. And he decided that he was going to repent from what he had done, from making Adam a sinful man, and then killing up everybody and getting no result. So he decided that this time he's going to really win the hearts of the people by putting himself in their own earthly flesh and letting them beat him, spit on him, beat him, kick him around, abuse him, and hang him on a wooden cross and kill him to prove to the world that he loves the world. I want to make up for beating you. I want to make up for bringing fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to make up for flooding the earth and drowning out all flesh. So I'm here now to let you get even, beat me up, spit on me, hang me on the cross. I love you. I love you. Now, I, brother and sister, by the guidance and power of Almighty God, who originated the heavens and the earth the first time, and who repeats his creation anytime he gets ready to, I have taught you the truth of that man, Jesus, and have showed you the pettiness, the smallness of that God that they presented to you. Now, haven't I presented a bigger Jesus to you than they presented to you? Why? Because a man, a righteous man, who grows up out of a woman's womb and come up as a little baby and struggled trying to crawl and then managed to walk and then go to school and be taught and eat the same food that everybody else eats, hear the same knowledge that everybody else hears, but because his heart is totally inclined to Almighty God, God bless him to see more than any of the rest of them can see. That's the kind of Jesus I tell you about. A human being. A man. The Jesus of the Holy Quran. Came and he preached. He fought lies. He fought hypocrites. He fought injustice. And he fought it in a man's body with a man's mind by the help of Almighty God. And with the help of Almighty God. And that man was rejected. And that man was killed. But his truth was not killed. The mind that Almighty God blessed him to have was not killed. So the Holy Quran say they killed him not. Neither did they crucify him. Why? Because they only killed flesh. And Jesus' power, his glory, was not in physical flesh. His power and his glory was in divine mind. They hung a body on the limb, but they didn't kill Jesus. They only buried him. But he rose again. Oh, praise you to Allah. Now, you have been taught in the past to believe that Master Farad Muhammad was Almighty God in the flesh, and that God only comes in the physical flesh, which is true. If you ever meet God, you will meet him in the physical flesh. Why? Even though maybe a man will come and teach you, a woman might come and teach you. Sometimes children can turn us toward God. A baby might come and teach you. Or you might pick up a piece of Holy Scripture and read a piece of Holy Scripture and nobody came to you. But you turn toward God because something from the Word, from the mind of God, touched you. Is that right? But you will never see God until you see him in the flesh. Because you are in the flesh. You are in the flesh. You're never going to see him in the spirit, not in this life, because you are not spirit without flesh. You are spirit and mind in flesh. And the dead can't read scripture.
the physically dead can't read Scripture. They can't listen to the voice of a physical man trying to preach them and turn them toward God, because they have lost the medium of expression in this physical world. Their only hope now is when the world is recreated.
They are gone. They're physically dead. They're gone. And we can't reach them.
So to reach a person, we must reach him in his physical body. Because he, to be living in our world, has to be in a physical body. So if you are to see God, brother and sister, you are to see him in the flesh.
You need wisdom and knowledge. Is that right? You see sugar in the water. Or you see syrup in the water. Or chocolate in the milk. Is that right? So seeing him in the flesh don't mean he is the flesh. It means seeing him in the flesh. We are able to see truth in darkness. We're able to see light in darkness. Is that right? Others look at it, they see nothing but darkness. But we look at it and we see light. The darkness is not light. We see light in the darkness. Is that right? Ignorance is not wisdom, but many times a wise man can see wisdom in ignorance. Is that right? All right. So I'm here to talk to you today. And if you will listen, see, listening means more than just hearing the sound. Listening means paying attention to what it says. And not bringing in all kind of mufflers in your mind to keep it from coming to the conscience, blocking it, stopping it. You hit the ear and you put a muffler there. You draw up Solomon from the Bible, or Samson, anybody. Draw up Rousseau from the left. Yakub from the left. Draw up anything, and you'll put that up there as a muffler. Oh, he's about to reach my conscience. Let me throw this muffler up there so it won't get no further than the ear. Well, if you're doing that, then that's your problem. It ain't my fault that you're not being raised in life. It's your fault. Okay, let's go on now. This lost foundation of Islam is in the volume of the book. What you see here today is the manifestation of the plan that God presented 6,000 years ago. And even further back than that. Abraham, he was a step in this direction. Noah, Moses, Jesus, they were all steps in this direction. They preached to us the coming. They preached to us the manifestation. Is that right? The book says that the light will come. God will come. Truth will come. Is that right? The saints will come. The heavenly city will come. Is that right? But nowhere in the book can you read wherein it says any of that is here. It says it's coming. It wasn't until the honor of Elijah Muhammad's time that a man stood up and said that I'm giving to you what God has given to me, and said that, look, don't look for God anymore. God is here.
He was the first one to say it. But the book says that God will come in the clouds. Is that right? So the time of our Elijah Muhammad, brother and sister, was the time of clouds. And if there's anyone among you who can stand up and tell me that there weren't any clouds in your mind when you were following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you are a liar.
When Muhammad was preaching, God was here. He wasn't to come. He had already come. But he had come in secret language. He had come in symbolic teaching. He had come in mathematical theology and terminology. And mathematics is nothing but the language of symbols. You can read mathematics from now on until you die. And unless somebody tells you what the signs and symbols stand for, you don't have anything but signs and symbols. Is he saying that that's all our Savior gave us? Was signs and symbols? No, I'm not. He gave you more than signs and symbols. He gave you exercises in arithmetic and high mathematics that were good for the development of the muscles of your mind. He gave you moral teaching to raise you morally. He gave you truth that would give you the courage to stand up without shaking before the enemies, before the boogeymen of this world. I could talk about what he gave you from now until tomorrow this time. But he didn't give you the bright light of truth. He gave you clouds. And all Elijah Muhammad said, if you want it, dig deep. He said, but don't trouble your mind too much. You'll go crazy. Isn't that what he told us or not?
That's right. Go ahead, Chief.
Say, don't trouble your mind too much. Yeah. Say, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Why? Because the knowledge was so masterfully locked up and secretly hid away in the chamber that was locked in, that an individual just can't find it by himself. So if you go at it, you'll go crazy trying to find it. Just go at it until it wear your mind out, and then put it down. That's the instruction, wasn't it? Go at it until it wear your mind out, then put it down. Almighty God himself has to guide one and give him the key to unlock the chamber and bring out the goodies. And what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about this one? He said, Master Farah will be the God until another one come who's greater. He say the one who has the knowledge to undo what Master Farad has done will be the God. So he didn't tell you what Master Farad established was to stay forever. He said when one comes with the wisdom to undo what he has done, that one will be the God. I'm not saying to you, I am the God. Not the capital G-O-D. But I am telling you that I am the small G-O-D. And if you study the lesson, I'm talking about the original lesson, not those you typed up. If you study the original lessons, you will find God written with a small G. Not written with a capital G. It's written with a small G. because he wasn't talking about God in the Holy God as he is in the Holy Quran. He was talking about God as he is in Genesis. Genesis tells you gods and goddesses. Is that right? Then you all are gods and children of the Most High. Isn't that what Genesis said? So we all are gods with the small g, meaning that we have the same nature of divine that is in the originator. But we are not the big capital G. Some of us are smaller genes than others. Is that right? But whoever among us is the bigger, smaller G, or the biggest, smaller G, he is the God of my life. And that's true. And believe me, he is. If you don't believe it, come out and contend with it. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's all right. The lesson says, what means and methods must be used to remove all poison and rust from a said rough one? Now, many of you know this lesson, and those who don't, you'll get it today, and you'll get it right. What means and methods must be used to remove all poison and rust from a said worst one? And the lesson say the preacher is the worst one.
That's right.
Is that right? Says the rustiest of all lots is that Christian preacher. So some of these newly risen up scientists among us, they might hear that and think that rust means something that it is not. We don't have to reveal what rust means. Many things Master Farad revealed while he was teaching. He told us that rust means ignorance. And the most ignorant of all among us is the preacher. That's what he taught. But he also taught that there was something else in us that had to be removed. Not only rust, but poison too. Now, he didn't tell us what poison meant. He just told us what rust meant. Poison means no morals, corrupt heart and mind. That's the poisonous in us. Many of us are not ignorant. We are wise in this world's knowledge, but we are the filthiest people in the minds and in the hearts walking the planet Earth. So he asked the question, what means and methods? What means and methods must be used? He didn't say should be used. What means and methods must be used to remove all poison and rust from a said worst one? He didn't talk about the best one. He wants to remove it from the worst one first. You know, young men, even young boys. I was thinking of young men, teenagers, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. But I've seen young boys, 7, 8, 9 years old, with their game. Those who were smart, whenever they met the enemy, they went right to the baddest guy in the opposition and slammed him right in his mouth. They knew that once you hit the baddest one, the rest of them, they're almost taken care of. So he wants to go to the most poison and rust first. So he wants us to concentrate on that preacher. What means and methods must be used to remove all poison and rust from the preacher? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, he told me to use any method. And any means. He said, get them at any cost.
Isn't that what he taught?
All right. So if he said, get them at any cost, use any means, use any method, what is he saying?
He's saying that you can hide the truth. You can lead them with signals and never let them see you. He's saying that you can put a bait on a hook. The bait is not what you want in their belly, the hook you want in the belly. But put the bait on so they'll swallow it. Get them at any price.
That was his teaching. I don't tell you that now.
Because I'm not fishing. I'm giving new form to life. I'm not fishing old life. I'm giving new form to life. The fish has been brought in. Right?
Now the fish are brought in and they're eaten and consumed. Is that right? And when we eat and consume the fish, what is digested and sent out is a convert. Is that right? We bring the fish in and we eat them up. We digest them. And what we turn out from the digestion is a convert. I'm not here to make converts. I'm here to take the converted and create them in the image and in the likeness that Almighty God intended. If I was here to just make converts, I would teach what was taught before Savior's Day. Because there are many who will come and listen to that. Because it's entertaining. Like a theater play. Or like a movie. It has a lot of colorful, strange characters in it. And it holds the mind. And even if you're not learning anything, you like to look at it. So if I just wanted to bring in fish, I would fish with the old attractive bait. I don't care if I don't get one convert. I'm not here to bring in fish. I'm here to give birth to life. And if there's just one that will come to birth, I consider that my mission is successful. I am a success. If I can just bring one person to birth, the world began with just one man. So the book says, and that was Adam. So if we finished with only one, we didn't lose anything. We got back what we started with.
But we're going to get many more. Right now, we have a majority. Among the fish that was brought in, we have a majority giving their allegiance.
That's right.
Their best on
right.
To the mission and to the office of Wallace D. Muhammad. So you who are shaky, you who are in love with yourself too much to share yourself with all of us and come into a body bigger than any of us can be alone. You who are too selfish. You who are too weak. You who love darkness too much. You who think because you sin, you can't be comfortable among the saints. A sinner should feel more comfortable among saints than he feels or she feels among sinners. There are people that love filth. And they fall in love with it and live with it so long that when they get in a clean place, they're uncomfortable. But if they would only understand in their filthy minds
that your own nature is more comfortable in a clean place than in filth, they would love to sit in a clean place. Even though their mind be filled with filth, they would prefer to sit in a clean place. And that's the way you should be, brother and sister. We are not angels. We are human beings. Angels are called beings that can't make mistakes. The book says that we are a bit above the angels. Why? Because we are not automated or robot people. We are people with individual freedom to break laws, to turn away from what is best for ourselves, if we want to. Now, if that particular individual chooses by him of his own free will to obey God, then that sets him up above the angel, because the angel couldn't disobey. He was automated. He was a robot. But God made one that was not automated. He made one that is not a robot. He can do what he wants to do. But he chooses of his own free will to go to God. So human beings are greater than angels, brothers and sisters. Do you understand? So don't think because you sin, you are less than an angel. Even sinning, if your heart turns in this direction, you are greater than all the angels that ever came. So the book says, sit here at my right side. And it said, never did he ever tell an angel to sit at his right side. The angel wasn't worthy to sit at his right side. At his right side means you be an example to the creation. You be an example to the creature. You be the crown of creation. You show by yourself and by your example how God is supposed to be upheld. Sit here on my right side. Means take the position of defending me. I don't need any defending. But show those disbelievers out there that I don't need angels to defend me. I can take a human being who can do what he wants to do, and with my light bring him to me, and he will defend me better than an angel. All praise to Allah. So the angels can only do my bidding, and they stop where I leave them. But a human being can take up my work and move on the strength of my power. Yes, and I can sit down and rest and say, sit there at my right side and show them how this kingdom is supposed to be upheld. See how they lie to you? He's not following his father. You haven't heard a man speak more like Elijah than me, and you never will hear one speak more like Elijah than me. Why? Because I come with the past and the present. If you want to hear Moses, listen to me. If you want to hear Abraham, listen to me. I'm not boasting, I'm telling you the plain truth. If you want to hear Adam speak, listen to me. Because Almighty God, who formed Adam and everybody since, and know exactly their form, who watched their growth and development, and watched them go back physically into the earth and brought their minds to himself and contained them without losing not one drop of wisdom or one drop of thought or one atom of morals that those people had acquired. He, in his own goodness and in his own grace, mercy, and generosity, he has placed it all in line.
Because I was the most worthy.
The book says, worthy is the Lamb. Is that right? He was dead, but now he's alive. He was slain from the foundations of the creation. And now here he is, breaking the seven seals. So the 12 and 12, the whole 24, the 12 major and the 12 minor, all the minds that have come into being since God started the creation, the major and the minors, they come and they lay their crowns down at the feet of the Lamb. A man who has been in the school of scriptural knowledge and who sat as a rabbi somewhere or sat as an imam somewhere or as a pope somewhere. If he comes and unravels the puzzle, he should get the credit. But if one come who has been kept out of the school and who has been thoroughly robbed and reduced to nothing, has been emptied of everything that God put in his vessel, that if he comes up now and takes the book that the rabbi couldn't help, that the imam couldn't help, that the Pope of Rome couldn't help, and he breaks the seal, one that was dead was killed by the minds of this world, stand up in death and began breaking the seal. They saw Elijah breaking the seal as a dead man. The life hadn't truly manifested. Elijah Muhammad was still in part dead. Although he was alive in this world, he had not been born again. He was not alive in the divine world. He was alive only in this world. And if you listen to him, he never told any of you that he was alive in the divine world. He told you that he was alive in this world, that this world of dead could not deal with him. But he said there's another one coming. He said there's a book coming. Say, when you get that, it will really put you over the top. Say, you can live a long, long time. And we thought he was actually talking about bean soup. What he was saying to us, if you eat
eat this simple food that I've taught you to eat, you can live a long, long time. He taught us to eat 1 meal a day and then 8 between meals
right in our presence.
You know what he told me once? He said, son, whatever we mess up, we don't worry about it. He said, the next one will come and clean it all up. He said, all we want to do is get them at any cost. That was a great man. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you've heard about him. That was a great, great man. The greatest black man, so-called Negro, that ever walked this land, including me, because I'm not a black man. I'm not a so-called Negro. Exactly. I am a divine man. A brother told a dead so-called Negro that the chief minister said he's Christ. This sister, so-called Christian, she met me and she said, I heard that you said, in fact, she called the brother's name. But he said that you said you were Christ. She said, I'll never believe that. She said, I'll never believe that you are Christ. So I said, well, I don't want you to believe that I'm Christ. Doesn't make any difference to me what you believe about me. I said, but tell me, what do you know of Christ? How much do you know about his identity? What make you think that you can identify him? Now, the sister misunderstood me, but I at least turned her mind away from the ignorant pit that she was headed for. I am not the flesh and blood of a Jesus that walked the streets of Nazareth and Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. I am not the life or the soul of that man. But Almighty God, he doesn't lose anything. And Jesus the Christ is resurrected and returned in me, whether you believe it or not. If you want to see Jesus, look at me. If you want to hear Jesus speak, listen to me. If you want to know your Savior, come and learn of me, as the book says.
What is this man saying?
I'm saying a simple truth, and that is this, that the God that created you
can bring you back anytime he wants to by revealing you to another one. If I want to speak from Jesus' mind, I can do it. If you bring me any words that he spoke from the pages of the Bible, if it's not exactly what he said, I can straighten it out. Hold up. If you bring me the feelings of Jesus from the pages of Scripture, if those are not his exact feelings, I can straighten it out for you. How can you do that, brother minister? Because God has brought Jesus' mind, soul, spirit,